Hello, 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 guys.
Welcome, welcome.
I know you guys didn't know I was going live. This was just kind of a last minute thing, but so I don't know if anyone's going to jump on or not, but I know you'll watch it later. But so last week my plan was to go live to talk about our next couple chapters in our book study on operating in the courts of heaven, but I didn't get a chance to do it. But you know, give me some grace. I broke my nose and I was still recovering, and I think I wanted to do more than I was able to, but I wanted to get back to this study. And the only way I really know how to record these is to kind of go live in here, and then I can download the video and then I can upload it to our YouTube and our Patreon. So I'm not good at Zoom that well. My husband, Chris, is the Zoom guy. He knows how to operate Zoom. So I'm just jumping on here, going live on Facebook here. But I wanted to get on to our next couple of chapters. But I also said, at least to the ones in our group message that's going through the study with me, I did have a testimony. So I want to testify to governing your body, because the courts of heaven is really, that's what it is. It's part of governing. We are called to govern our families, our lives, our world, everything. The Lord, you know, told Adam and Eve to take dominion over the land. We are called to govern the land, to govern our cities, to govern in the spirit. We are to speak and declare and be the ecclesia, establish God's will here on earth. So we're learning in the courts of heaven to govern. But my testimony, or my praise report, whatever you want to call it, is my face. So if none of you know what happened, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago today, I fell up some cement steps. I was volunteering as a volunteer photographer for a charity event. I fell up the steps outside. It was getting dark and my face found a step. So I tripped on a step. I fell. The corner of the step went right into my face. And if you saw the pictures on Facebook, many of you have, I had black eyes. It was all purple. You can find the pictures on Facebook. Yeah. So I was all purple here. My eyes were swollen and purple. I had a big scrape up here. And this is where I got my stitches out Monday, but I was cut here and some of the skin was actually missing. My nose is broken in four places and it's only been 2 weeks, and look, look. So after the first couple days, I started to notice a little bit of yellowing, and I wasn't sure why. And so and then it just kept yellowing and getting better really quickly. And Chris said to me a couple of days later, he's like, you're healing really fast. And so I looked up the stages of bruising, because I'm like, I'm going to be turning purple and green and all these colors, right? So I wanted to see the stages. Well, there's four stages, and the fourth stage is yellow. You're supposed to go from purple to blue to green to yellow. I went from purple to yellow. So after 4 days, I was getting really yellow. A lot of the purple was starting to go away. And the fourth stage, the yellow stage, is not supposed to happen until 10 to 14 days. Well, today is day 14. And the yellow is almost gone. You might not be able to see on camera. There's a tiny bit on my eyelids. And under here is pretty much all gone. But so my testimony isn't just that I healed fast. Yes, people were praying for accelerated healing and quick healing, and so those prayers were answered. But one thing the Lord showed me, what I did, I didn't take my body in the courts per se, but I was governing my body. And so part of governing is the courts, part of, you know, governing is declaring. So what I did was, that night, every time I think about what happened, or you'd replay what happened and you'd feel that in your body, right? Have you ever had a really bad fall, or you could watch someone else have a really bad fall and you literally feel it. You're like, ooh. So that's kind of, every time I'd feel pain or I'd feel that, I'd feel my body tense up, and I would just speak over my body. I was literally laying hands on my body and I was speaking to my body and releasing the peace of God into my body, and for trauma to come out. Because I was thinking about how our bodies will hold on to trauma, our bodies will hold on to those memories, even organs can hold on to memories. So I was trying to release the trauma of what had just happened, and I was speaking the peace of God over my body. I was engaging my body and speaking peace over it, governing it. And, I have the legal right to do that. And then I was just amazed at how God created us, our bodies to heal. You get a cut and it heals. So I started speaking over my body and saying, body, you are amazing. God created you to heal yourself. You are just amazing. And I love you. And you're an amazing body. And I just speak healing over you and peace. And I would just kept doing that for days. And then when I noticed the accelerated healing and the bruising going away quickly, God reminded me of that. So I literally was governing over my body and the healing was accelerated, because right now is when I should start having the yellowing and the bruising to go away. A friend of mine sent me a picture of her mother who had fallen, and she had black eyes, and she was on day 8 and was still all purple. And here I was on day 4 and I was mostly yellow. So anyways, that's my testimony. I governed my body. I didn't realize totally that's what I was doing. I just was speaking. I was just doing it. I was speaking over my body, God's will. So anyways, that's my little governing testimony for today. Now I want to get into our book. So if those of you who haven't been following us, we're using this book, Operating in the Courts of Heaven by Robert Henderson. We're doing a book study. So I have a group message just so I can, for everyone going through the book with me, so I can let them know when I do these and I post the link to the video. I'll put this video on YouTube and our Patreon, and then I post the link for those in my book study. I don't mind going live on here to do it too. Originally, I wanted to just have us all come together via Zoom or something to talk about the book. But, you know, in today's day and age, everyone's so busy. But we are on chapter 4. So we're going to do chapter 4 and 5. The first three chapters we went through last time. And that's talking about how we approach God in prayer. We can approach Him as Father, as friend, and as judge, the good and faithful judge. So we learned about that, and now we are learning how to function in the courts. So what I did was I went through, I've read this a few times, and I listened to it today while I was cleaning the house. But so I'm just going to kind of go through. I underlined some good stuff in the book to talk about. So we'll just kind of go through as I get my bearings here. In the very beginning of chapter 4, he talks about basically how it says here, the whole revelation of the courts of heaven came through an encounter with the Lord in my own personal prayer time. So he said, the other things I've mentioned concerning biblical study and research helped once I became aware of this dimension. So sometimes the Lord needs us to become aware of something, aware of a mystery, aware of a truth in His word. So he had a revelation from the Lord in an experience with the Lord of the courts of heaven. And then he went to, something happened to my YouTube music. It changed on me, but that's okay. But anyways, I don't want it to be too loud either. I like it in the background, but okay. So sometimes we have this revelation. God will give you a revelation, and then you'll find in the Word. Then you study, and then He brings scriptures. Like many times God does that, right? He can show you something, and you can say, Lord, I need a scripture for that. And He'll give you a scripture. So he had this revelation. But what he talks about, too, is that, you know, the concept of the courts of heaven started to catch on with a lot of people, but then without him trying to, he miscommunicated, and people seemed to think that the courts of heaven was more of like a method of prayer, and it's not. So I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit. What's all this? Okay, this is what I want to talk about. But that it is, it's not a method of prayer. It's not to be, the courts of heaven isn't like step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, and then your prayer is answered. So it's not a method of prayer. It sort of is, but not really. It is a dimension in the spiritual realm. It is an actual place. It says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And one of those places is here, the courts of heaven. And it is a realm, it is a dimension in the spirit that we have access to as children of God. As we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and we have come into the family of God, just as Jesus is there, we now have access through his blood into the courts of heaven, into this dimension in the spiritual realms where we can come in and we can govern over our bodies. We can govern over our families, our situations, our cities. Some of you may operate in the courts more than others because some of you, it may be where God has called you. You may not be a big preacher with a big following. You may not be a Facebook prophet with a big following. You may not be, you know, the person everyone knows. You may not be an evangelist that travels the world. God may have you hidden in the world, but in the spirit, you are called. Your calling is to operate in the courts of heaven. And there's many people called there. So in the natural, you're just an everyday person. Not a lot of people may know you. It doesn't look like you've got big, amazing things happening, possibly. But in the spirit, you are respected. You are honored. You have a high place. You have a seat in the courts. And that's where you're called. And that may be what your ministry is to operate in the courts of heaven. And God will use you to govern over cities, to govern over nations, all kinds of things. So I was thinking about that today. That could be where some of you are called to. Wouldn't that be kind of awesome? It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter if people know how prophetic you are or how great you teach or how much you preach or if you healed someone by praying for them. It doesn't matter. What matters is doing what the Lord has you do. And it could be that your big calling is in the spiritual realm in a dimension like the courts of heaven. So he goes on and he starts talking about his own experience. This experience he had, something going on in his life where he first started walking into the courts of heaven, but he didn't quite know what he was doing yet. And I absolutely love this story. Because something similar kind of happened with me and my husband recently. But so I will read his story and then tell you my little testimony. So I'm going to try to paraphrase because it's kind of a long story. So him and his wife, he says, we had seen God bless us abundantly. We had known his faithfulness and care over us. Then we entered a time of about 3 years when everything began to fall to pieces. What I mean by this is that we began to be attacked seemingly on every side. Finances, relationships, reputations, lies being told, but especially our children. So they have 6 kids. They grew up in a Christian home. He states it wasn't a double standard there. The way they were behind closed doors is how they were in public. It was a good Christian home, so there wasn't like rebellion because the kids saw hypocrisy or anything. But so their children are grown now, and he's telling the story about his son, Adam. So Adam had been a successful youth pastor with his wife, but had gone through a divorce. And because of all the hurt, he was cut off from his 2-year-old little girl. In the courts, the natural courts, he was given some custody, but the ex-wife was, to get back at him, was not letting him see his child. And he fell into a deep depression. It says, this resulted in a deep depression coming over Adam. I watched Adam lose every sense of divine destiny. He went from being one who wanted to serve God to one who felt completely worthless and disqualified from serving the Lord. So he fell away from his calling and he was making some bad decisions. He was depressed. So Robert Henderson here, you have to read the story, read all the details. I'm going to try to kind of skim over it. But he had prophetic words as a baby, this Adam did, to preach the gospel. So Robert Henderson decided to war in prayer. Every time he would pray for his son. And he says here, my whole perspective was that the spirit realm was a battlefield. Therefore, I had bound and loosed, I had opened and shut, I had denied and forbidden, and allowed and permitted. However, over a 2-year period, nothing had changed. In fact, it had only gotten worse. And that's sometimes how you know that you're being called into the courts. If you are praying about something, if you are worrying over it, you're doing everything you know to do. You have repented, you're closed doors, you've done everything you know to do in the situation and nothing is changing. It could be the Lord is calling you to bring it into the courts. It may be a court case. There may be a case against you in the courts that the enemy is using. So he said he only looked at prayer as it was a battlefield. The spirit realm is a battlefield. We have to fight the enemy. I figured I must not have done enough because things weren't changing. I discovered later this wasn't true. The issue wasn't that I hadn't done enough. The issue was I hadn't done the right thing. So there are times we have many tools in our tool belt. There are times to bind and loose. There are times to do deliverance. There are times to, just petition the Lord. There's times to fast and pray. There's also times to go into the courts with whatever is going on when nothing's changing. So he was doing everything he knew to do, but he just wasn't doing the right things in that situation. And I think that's why too a lot when you see when Jesus would heal or the disciples did things, it wasn't always the same thing. Jesus didn't do step one, step two, step three, you're healed. He did it different every time. And I think there's reasons in the spirit for that, and whatever was is the root, or wherever that thing had latched onto that person when they were getting delivered or healed, so it depends on where the illness was coming from. And so in different and the person themselves and what they needed to learn in the situation. So he goes on, he said, all of a sudden one morning, I went to prayer as was my practice. This time I began to pray for Adam from a battlefield mentality one more time, but I heard the Lord say, bring Adam to my courts. Bring Adam to my courts. I knew, however, if this was the real voice of God, he would lead me and help me because he hadn't operated in the courts yet. He had just got the revelation. And now God is going to walk him through. And we can go in. You don't have to wait till we get through this book to go into the courts of heaven. You can feel the Lord drawing you in, or you can take something in by faith. We enter it by faith. It is a dimension in the spirit that we go to. So we go in the spirit by faith to the courts, and you can go. It's all about the Holy Spirit leading you. He will lead you through the court case. You don't have to have the legal words or understand the courts of heaven completely. You can go in by faith, say, Lord, I'm coming by faith and I'm bringing this to you in your courts because I feel this is where I need to bring it. Nothing else is working. I'm coming to your courts and trust the Holy Spirit. Every court case is going to be different. Every time you go in the courts, you're going to say things different. You're going to act different. It's going to look different. It's going to be different. Because just like with intercessory prayer or even spiritual warfare, it's different every time. You let the Holy Spirit lead you. And many times we have already been in the courts and gone through court cases without realizing it. Because you just let the Holy Spirit lead you as you pray. And so some of the declarations we've done have actually been declarations you have made in the courts of heaven over a case that has been against you. And you just didn't know it. We're just kind of putting language and bringing revelation to things we've probably already been doing. So he goes on. He starts repenting. He said, I had seen that repentance was a necessary thing before the courts of heaven. The devil uses sin legally against us. I knew that whatever claim he had against Adam to hold him in this depression had to be legally removed. As a result, I repented on behalf of Adam. He wasn't sure if that was the right thing to do or not, and he was just trusting the Holy Spirit. And you can go in and repent on the behalf of someone else. This is clear that God will, he gives 1 John 5:16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. This is clear that God will allow us to deal with sin in the spirit world on behalf of another if it is not a sin unto death. Adam's sin was not a death sentence. His son Adam is who we're talking about, right? So He says, my repentance didn't remove the need for Adam to repent. However, it did at least revoke the legal right of the devil to use his sin against him. So you can go into the courts on behalf of someone else. You can repent on behalf of them. And what it does is it opens a door and creates a space to where they have more freedom to get free. So he prays, and he has his prayer in here that he brought Adam. He repents on behalf of Adam for his failure as a father and a husband. He said, I repent for any lie he has believed about himself. Read the book. We're doing a book study. Get the book and read it. So after he finished praying and repenting on behalf of Adam, the Holy Spirit, he says, the Holy Spirit then said to me, now you repent. This is so key. This is, oh my goodness. So I thought, what have I done? The Lord very graciously said to me, you must repent for the words you have spoken in your frustration against Adam to his mother. I suddenly knew that these words I was guilty of were being used by the devil in the courts of heaven. I knew that the devil was taking my words and saying before the courts of heaven, even his own father says this about him. Wow, I was convicted and brought to shame. Suddenly, I knew I was a part of the problem. I began to repent in absolute sincerity for all the negative things I had said about Adam in my frustration. I had spoken words against him because of choices he had made and decisions he had walked out. The Lord was letting me know that these words were being used in the courts of heaven against Adam to hold him in depression and keep him from his destiny. So he prayed and he repented. I had never had thought of that before, that he never said the words to his son. His son never heard him say them. He was just, I mean, have you ever been frustrated with your child and you're just venting? So he was just venting to his wife like, oh, he's so irresponsible. What is he thinking? Or something like along those lines, right? But those words he spoke in frustration, his son never heard them, but the enemy did. And the enemy has been using those in the court, saying even his own father says this about him. So, wow. Our words really are powerful. The things we say really are powerful, for good or for bad. So now I want to go back and see what things I've spoken in frustration. but we actually, there was something similar. So in the last season, me and Chris have gone through a season where the enemy has been, well, as Chris would say, henpecking around our marriage, right? So with his little southern slang. But so what the enemy's been doing in a nutshell is he's been trying to get us to look at the other person in more of a negative light, basically. So just with thoughts and little things, trying to kind of magnify the little flaws, the little irritations, right? But it broke. One day it just broke. And then our marriage has been stronger than ever. And you know what? When it broke, Chris got up in the middle of the night one night and the enemy started again, trying to get him to think negatively. And he stopped and he made some declarations. He didn't realize what he was doing. He didn't realize he was in the courts. But what he was doing was he was being a character witness. Everything negative the enemy was trying to get him to believe about me to drive a wedge in our marriage, he basically made a declaration of the opposite. He's like, no, she is this. She is this. So he made a declaration over our marriage. And I pretty much, I didn't sit up and verbally say it, but I know I hit this point where I was like, no. And I stated the opposite, more in my heart. But when he did that night, I didn't even know. I was sleeping. But he made those declarations over me as his wife and over our marriage. And it broke. It broke. And when he told me this, I came to the realization he was in the courts. He was in the courts of heaven. And he was being a character witness to the truth. And so it broke the lies the enemy was trying to use. He was trying to get us to latch on to these thoughts and start thinking and speaking negatively so he could say, even his own wife says this about him or thinks this. Even her own husband thinks this and knew exactly that's what the enemy had been trying to do all along, was this very thing. to get you to think something and speak something negatively about your spouse. So he can grab onto that and go in the courts. He can harass you. He can drive that wedge in your marriage because he's saying, look, even his own wife doesn't trust him. Even her own husband doesn't trust her, or whatever the situation may be. My thing keeps saying slow connection. So I hope you guys are able to hear this. I hope it's going okay. I don't know why we have good internet. Maybe because of the subject. But anyway, so I think that was amazing that he discovered, Robert Henderson discovered, the things he said behind closed doors, just venting to his wife in frustration over his grown child, was keeping his son in that depression and from his destiny. So he repents over that. Then the Holy Spirit tells him to prophesy his son's destiny. So he literally starts prophesying the destiny God has for his son and the word of the Lord over him. So what he discovered was he was undoing a case against Adam in the courts, and then he was bringing a new case. Where does it say? And then he was presenting a case for him on his behalf. So let's see. I discovered I was undoing a case against Adam. Then I was presenting a case on his behalf. Through repentance, I was activating the blood of Jesus to speak on his behalf. So he repented for Adam, and then he repented himself for what he said. And that activates the blood of Jesus to speak on our behalf. Hebrews 12:24. This was causing any and every case against Adam to be removed. Then when the Lord told him to prophesy Adam's destiny, this was the act of presenting a case for him or on his behalf. We must do both to be effective in the courts. Getting a case dismissed is not enough. And that is so true, because even in spiritual warfare or deliverance, you're removing something from your home. You're removing something from a person. You need to put something in its place. You don't leave it empty. So when I'm praying over people and we're praying off depression or praying off, you know, illness, you're going to pray into them and pour into them the Holy Spirit, health, joy. So you remove depression, you're going to replace it with joy. So even in the courts, you're going to undo a case the enemy has against you or someone else in the courts. And then you're going to present a new case for the will of God and establish that in their life. So you're replacing it with something. So you dismiss a case, you get a case dismissed, and then you present a case. So, so now here's another thing we were talking about. The Holy Spirit leads you in the courts and he tells you what to say. So Romans 8:26 declares, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Lord empowers us in the midst of our weakness in prayer. So when we don't know what to do and we don't know what to pray, let the Holy Spirit lead you. He can lead you through the courts. He can lead you how to pray. He just did what he was instructed. He didn't know what was going on, but he was dismantling a case and presenting a new case and prophesied his son's destiny. Now, what also happened, and then the Lord had him rebuke the spirit of depression. So he rebuked that spirit of depression off of his son. And all this took him about 15 minutes. And what's interesting is then he says, it was about a week and a half later, his son called him up. And his son said, a week and a half ago, I don't know what happened, but 1.5 weeks ago, all the depression suddenly left me. I want to do God's will and I want my destiny and future back. So at the same moment when he took his son in the courts and did all that, that depression, that case was broken. The new case of God's destiny was presented over his life, and that depression was broken off of him. And he felt it. He literally had it lift off of him. So he was able to come back to the Lord and to his destiny and walk into it. So what is really profound, the very end of chapter 4, he says, what I was not able to do on the battlefield in a 2-year period, I accomplished in the courts of heaven in 15 minutes. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes it's not that we're not doing enough, but we might be doing the wrong things. So stop and ask yourself, if you keep hitting a wall with a certain situation, are you approaching it correctly? Are you supposed to be warring, or are you supposed to take it into the courts? Or are you supposed to just declare and make declarations? That's really still going in the courts, whether you realize it or not. So the strategy is different each time. What you do? Do you just fast and pray? Do you do nothing? Sometimes God has you do nothing. So are you guys getting this? Is this making sense? Do we like this? Are you hearing me okay? Because my thing keeps popping up saying slow connection. So I hope I'm not cutting out. Chapter five is called The Mountain of the Lord. So the Mountain of the Lord. Let's see here. This is where he starts talking about how after teaching this for several years, he had inadvertently left the impression that the courts of heaven was a method of praying. And he says, the courts of heaven is not a method of praying, but a dimension of the spirit. It is the dimension we go into in the spirit. And I love this part. He says, for the most part, we have a faulty view of what happens when we encounter God and his presence. We think that he comes to us, when in reality, we come to where he is. We enter the place where he himself functions and operates. We go to him. So when you feel the presence of God, it's really not God's presence coming down and upon you. It is literally your spirit is stepping into the realm where he is. You are stepping into him, into his presence. It's everywhere. That's why the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. The glory of the Lord has already filled the earth. We need to know it. We need to know of it. We need to discover it and experience it. It is here. We step into it. So when we go to the courts, when we do anything in God's presence, we are stepping into his presence. We are going to him. He's not actually coming here. We say, Spirit, come. The Spirit's here. It's up to us to step in. We enter the place where he himself functions and operates. Okay, let's see. What Jesus did for us provided us with a new and living way to come before him and his presence. This shows that it is not him who comes to us, but rather we step into a spiritual realm and approach him. Let's see. If you guys are leaving comments, I'm not seeing them. I don't know. It does that once in a while. And I hate it because I like to, like, you know, communicate. But I'm not seeing comments. So I don't know. So sorry, I'm not ignoring you guys. I'm just not seeing comments. And I don't know how to change it if so. Ooh, what's this? Oh, no. I don't want to do that. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. Okay, back to here. Ooh, this is interesting too. It says, we have traditionally wrongly thought that Jesus was seeking to educate Nicodemus. So remember Nicodemus, John 3:13. When he was seeking to instruct Nicodemus about being born again. So we traditionally have thought Jesus was seeking to educate Nicodemus about the new birth so he could go to heaven when he died. However, Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know that when he came to life in the spirit realm, it would grant him access into the heavenly dimension now. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. So, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man in that scripture. He's saying he came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he's saying he is the Son of Man. He has come down from heaven, but he is also in heaven at the same time. And we can do the same. When the Bible speaks of heaven, so often it is not talking of the place we go when we die. It is speaking of the spiritual sphere that we can enter right now. And it's true. It's speaking of the heavenly realms. Notice Jesus is telling Nicodemus that as a human alive in fleshly body, Jesus ascended into heaven, came down from heaven, and is even in heaven right now. This was Jesus revealing that he was living in two dimensions at the same time. And we can do the same. We can live in the spirit realm and the natural realm at the same time. When you are born again, you become like Jesus. That word born again means born from above. When you get born again, you are born from above. You are an interdimensional being, if that's a word, right? You can live in two dimensions. We are seated in heavenly places, but we are also here on earth. You can function in both realms at the same time. We are an interdimensional being or multidimensional being, whatever. We are a spirit being. We have the spirit of God. God has transformed us, right? Because we are born again. We are born from above. We have that new birth. We are now part of God's family. We have his DNA within us. You know, we are changed. We are not of this world anymore. So we are, because we are now living in the heavenly realms and the earthly realms at the same time, we now have access to the heavenly realms and dimensions, including the courts of heaven. So Jesus was revealing he was living in two dimensions at one time. He was in the natural realm in his physical being, but simultaneously in the spirit world. This is why John 5:19 declares that Jesus did what he saw the Father do. He was unveiling that even while he was alive in human existence on earth, he was functioning in a heavenly place where God is as his Father. How else could he see what the Father was doing while also being a human on the earth, right? He was both. And it's not just because he was also God. He modeled for us. Jesus was our model of how to function, how to act, how to walk as a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God. He was a child of God, right? He's God's son. He's God, but he's God's son. And he modeled for us how to be a Christian and what we should do. We are to heal people and raise the dead and pray for people. And we are to spend time with the Father and be in union just as he was. But he also modeled that we can function in the spirit realm while we were also here on the earth. We can live in both realms at the same time, just as he did. So this was Jesus' secret to the supernatural. He saw in the spirit world and agreed with it from the natural world. And that right there is the ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. The church is not a building or a denomination. It is the true people of God. It's God's governing body. And what God's governing body does, the ecclesia, is we see what the Father's doing. We see the will of God. We see into his heart as he reveals it to us in that secret place in the heavenly realms. And we come here and we establish it here on the earth. We decree, we declare, we go to the courts, we war, we do whatever we're supposed to do. But we're taking the heart of God and establishing it here on the earth now. So we see in the spirit and we bring that and come into agreement with them here, with it here in the natural, and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Oh, this is why Paul says in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated in heavenly places where Jesus is. So we are raised up with Jesus, and he made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And that is places plural. There's more than one. There's heavenly realms and there's heavens of heavens. You can be in the spirit and then go in the spirit. Paul did it. Paul did it. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And then he explains, he describes the encounter he was having in the spirit. And he never said he came out of the spirit. He's having this encounter, and then suddenly he's in the spirit, he says. So he was in the spirit and then went in the spirit. There are different levels. There are different realms. You can be in the spirit and then in the spirit. I want to be in the spirit and the spirit. That's just amazing. We must recognize we have an exalted place in the spirit world. We have been granted access into a spiritual realm where decisions are made that alter the course of history on the earth. If we can see and imagine this place we are functionally in as New Testament believers, we can change life on the planet. We need to know who we are. We need to know where we stand, literally, in the spirit. Know who you are. Know what kind of access you have in the spirit realms. Know your authority. And we learned our authority in the spiritual warfare age, right? Where we are learning about that because we needed to, and we need to have those skills. And so we started learning about our authority there, but there's more realms of authority. There's more to our authority than binding and loosing. That is our authority. But we also have authority to govern in the spirit realms. So we need to know our place. Literally, know your place, know your seat. You have more power than you realize in the spirit. You have more influence than you realize. There's more power in your words than you can even understand. If we can see and imagine this place, we are function. Oh, we already read that. Okay. Notice that the Bible actually says there are many different places we can step into in this unseen world. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. So the Father's house he's speaking of is the spiritual place that God dwells in. So where is it? He talks about in our Western minds, maybe it's farther down, how we think of him, you know, in my Father's house. We're thinking of a house that you live in, right? But that word house in other languages. So when the Bible is translated into all kinds of other languages besides English, almost all the time it is not translated as house, but as like a room or a place. So it is the place where God dwells. In the place where God dwells are many rooms. There's many levels. There's many dimensions, right? There's many places in the spirit realm that we can go. So in the place where your Father dwells, the mountain of the Lord, that's what we're getting to. So we are granted entrance into the holiest of holies now because of what Jesus did on the cross through his body and blood. So he declares that he will come again and receive us to himself. This is not Jesus speaking of coming again 2,000 years later. He was speaking of him coming on the day of Pentecost and the empowerment that would be received to live in two realms at once. So that is what happened at Pentecost. We didn't just receive the Holy Spirit and just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We received all that and we received the empowerment of the Spirit, but we also received the empowerment to live in two realms at once. They could not do that before that. Jesus modeled it for us. And then once we had received the Holy Spirit, we can now live in two, we become a multidimensional being. We can live in two realms. The baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers us to function in these unseen places. There are so many places in the heavens, in the spirit, that we can go and that we can, things we can do. And you just let Jesus take you. And it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to go into these realms. We have access. You have the key, if you realize it or not. You have the key to these realms in the heavens. You can go there. So Jesus came to the disciples through the Holy Spirit to empower them to live in two worlds at the same time. He then makes the statement that the purpose for all this is that where I am, you may be also. Notice that he didn't say, I will come to where you are, but rather that where I am, you can be there. And where is he? Seated in heavenly places. And what does the word say? We are seated with him in these heavenly places. He came as the Holy Spirit. Jesus came back as the Holy, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came to empower us to go into these heavenly places. We can be where he is now, not after we die. Death is not our savior. Death is not our qualifier. The Holy Spirit is, right? So Jesus let them know that through all that he would accomplish and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, they would be able to live in heavenly realms while alive on earth. They would be free to experience glory and impart it to others from the unseen world that he had provided them access into. Isn't this good? This is good, guys. I love this. This is an absolutely essential understanding to function in the courts of heaven. This is because the courts of heaven is one of the spiritual places we have been granted access into. You have the right to go into the courts. It is a realm of prayer that allows us to function in the courts and make requests and petitions there. So, then he goes on talking about Hebrews 12, 22 to 24, and it's talking about Mount Zion. You have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So let's see. When it says we have come to this, it is implying that we are a part of this activity. We have come to Mount Zion. We have access to Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? The place where the Lord dwells. When we were born again, we were repositioned to function in this heavenly realm. In other words, we are not trying to get there. We are already there. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You have access to it. It's all right within you. We must accept by faith the place that we have been granted and begin to function there. We need to learn how to function in the heavenly realms, not just the one realm of spiritual warfare or the one realm of intercession, or the one realm of declarations. But there is the courts. There are many realms. There's the realm of union and oneness. There is a realm of peace. There is a realm of healing. There's all these realms that we have access to and we can function in. So we need to learn. We really need to learn who we are. We don't know who we are. We think we do, right? I've learned a lot about identity. There's a lot of identity teachers out there, but there's so much more. We're just scratching the surface, guys. So let's see. So he says, I'm not trying to get somewhere, but I am seeking to function where I already am. Let me therefore show you the activities in the spirit world associated with the courts of heaven. This is necessary because one of the main things we must do is to agree with what is happening in this unseen world. We see what the Father's doing. We see what heaven's desire is for us, for our lives, for the earth, for others. And we need to agree with it. Our agreement causes what is happening in the unseen place to manifest in our seen realm. This is actually what the word confess implies. So when you confess, you are coming into agreement with that thing. So he talks about the meaning of the word. The Greek word homologio is confess. So it means to say the same thing, to come in agreement. But it also is used in a legal setting, meaning agreeing testimony. So this is what Jesus did when he saw what the Father was doing and he came into agreement with it on the earth. And that is what the ecclesia does. We see what the Father is doing and what heaven is doing, and we come in agreement with it here on the earth so that it is established here. First thing we are told is we have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion's the place the courts of heaven operates from. So the courts of heaven operates from Mount Zion. This is not a geographical location. It is a spiritual dimension. It is not a mountain on the earth. It is a spiritual dimension. We have come to Mount Zion, which is also the mountain of the Lord. Come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord. That is ascending into a spiritual dimension, not climbing a physical mountain. And it's a governmental spiritual dimension. That means what we do in this realm doesn't just affect our own lives personally, but we have a cultural effect even in nations. So we can go into the mountain of the Lord. We can go into the spiritual dimension of Mount Zion, that governmental dimension, and have an effect on our nations, on our countries, on our cities, on our families. Our activity in the courts of heaven can create cultural shifts and change. So some of you, as I said, are called into. That is your ministry. That is where God has called you to minister. That is your job, is to function in the courts of heaven on a regular basis, to govern over cities, to govern over the earth, maybe, to govern over a country, to govern over the weather, all kinds of things. When we're praying against the tornadoes that are trying to come, you may be one that God calls into the courts to govern over that weather pattern and that storm system. He goes on, he talks, I'll skip over it, how Lucifer was positioned in the holy mountain of God. Lucifer's first position was in Mount Zion. And so he hates the church so much because we are being called and have access to function in the place that he was kicked out of. Oh, it's so good. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Doesn't that make so much sense? Isn't that amazing? We go into the governmental spiritual dimension of Mount Zion. Come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord. That's where God, he will teach us his ways. We shall walk his paths. We see what the Lord is doing. He reveals his heart to us and his desires. And then we walk his paths. We bring that and establish it on the earth. That is what those scriptures are talking about. Isn't that amazing? For out of Zion shall go forth the law of the Lord, what we see, what he's doing. Oh, it's so good. Mountains speak of a governmental function. So many times in the Bible, the mountains are talking about the government of God. We know that the mountain of the Lord's house is Zion because verse 3 tells us this name. Out of Zion will go forth the law, blah, blah, blah. We have been set in this place by God to affect and shift climates and atmospheres in the nations of the earth. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. God promised to bring us as a house of prayer to the very place Lucifer was kicked out of for his rebellion. This is why Satan hates the praying church so much. We have been granted access into the spiritual place he once functioned in. We have been set by God to operate in Mount Zion from a governmental place. Ooh, so good. So good. So when we speak of Mount Zion, we are speaking of a governmental position in the spirit world. That really kind of changes the way you read the Bible, doesn't it? Now remember, the word of God, each word of God is like a diamond of 70 facets. So it's got many levels and many dimensions to it. It will never contradict itself. Zion is a place of the Lord's executing of judgment against all that would resist his will. Zion in this scripture speaks of the place in the spirit, but also the people who occupy that place. When the scriptures talk about Zion, many times it's talking about the people, and I was always taught it's the Jewish people. It's the Jews. It's his chosen ones. No, it's his people that are in functioning in that spiritual dimension. The Lord will use us as his people from this governmental place to set his divine order over the earth. What a high call and positioning we have been granted. So that is the mountain of the Lord. What we do through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the mountain of the Lord allows the Lord the power and right to bring heaven into earth on a cultural level. This result can be a depiction of earth looking more like heaven than like hell. So as we ascend into the mountain of the Lord, learn his heart, see what he's doing, and we operate from that position in the spiritual realm, and we govern from that position down to the earth. We establish God's will here on the earth. So when you go into the courts and you bring things into the courts, you are ascending into the mountain of the Lord for his holy and righteous judgment. And judgment really is restoration. It means restoration. That's what a judgment is. It's not negative, because the blood of Jesus speaks better than that of Abel's blood. Yeah, Abel's blood. So his blood speaks for us. God is a good judge, and his judgments are for our benefit. It's amazing. So we function from the heavenly realms. People teach all the time on, seen from heaven's point of view, functioning from heaven's point of view. That's what you're doing. You're going into the mountain of the Lord, into that place, a governmental place in the spirit. And you're taking your seat of authority that you have and accessing that realm. And when you govern from that realm into your problems, from that realm into the situations, and you break those court cases and you present a new case and you prophesy destinies, and then we will have as we have prayed on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for heaven to come down. And this is one of the ways we do that, by knowing who we are and where we are seated and how to function from our place of authority and our place of access in the spiritual dimensions. You are a multidimensional spirit being. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. We're not a body with a spirit and a soul. You get born again. You are born from above. You are a spiritual being that you now can live in the heavenly realms and on the earth at the same time. We have access into those dimensions to change things here on the earth. It's amazing. I love it. I love it. So let us go up into the mountain of the Lord. So I encourage you, take some time to be quiet before the Lord and ascend into his presence, into his mountain, and let him reveal his heart to you. And he'll show you the ways to establish that here on the earth. What you pray, what you say, what you declare. Maybe you're to be a character witness for someone. Maybe you need to walk through some repentance or repent on behalf of someone. Maybe you need to prophesy someone's destiny. Maybe all of it. Maybe none of it. Maybe you just need to declare and establish God's will. But whatever it is, let's ascend up into that governing dimension, the dimension where God's presence is, and let him reveal his heart to you. Anyways, I love you guys. Thank you for joining me for these two chapters. They were really good. I say go and read the book, because every time I read his stuff or listen to him preach or anything, I just get so much revelation. It's amazing. So yeah, go and be a character witness for someone. Go and govern. Govern your bodies. Govern for your healing. Govern for your families. I love you guys, and I will talk to you later. I'll be back. I'm trying to do this once a month. We'll go through the next two chapters, chapter 6, 7, maybe 8, probably 2, because there's so much in them. After next month though, I will not be cleaning houses anymore, because right now I clean houses. I have a photography business. I'm a wife. I homeschool. I do a lot. We have ministry. So I'm trying to cut back on some of the things so I can give more of myself to these important things. So after March, I may do every 2 weeks. We'll speed this up, because he's got a book on breaking generational curses in the courts of heaven. And it's a really good study. So we're going to do that next once we get through this book. So I want to get through this book so we can know how to operate in the courts. So then we can go and operate in the courts and break some generational stuff. So anyways, I love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.